Hi everyone, this is Christopher and you're listening to Finding Japan, episode 52. Yes, this is episode 52, if you can believe it. Today is Sunday. I don't even know the date anymore. It doesn't even matter. So let me see here. It's the 27th. Sunday the 27th. It's a beautiful day out here in Tokyo today. It's pretty amazing. I just got back from the convenience store, and I got just some things to drink and some breakfast and stuff. And I was commenting to myself about how beautiful of a day it is, especially since it's been quite cold here lately. It's been so cold, actually, I've had to bust out a winter coat, which, is something I wasn't quite sure I would end up having to do while here in Japan, actually. So, what's going on? Well, the biggest news is that there is only one more day left to school right now, which means... I'm sure I'll get in trouble for that or something. I don't know. I just couldn't resist. Hopefully, Alice Cooper's attorneys don't come after me. If so, we'll replace that audio. But yeah, school's out. Well, almost, actually. It'll be out. Let's see. It'll be out on Monday. So that's, what, the 28th. It's almost hard to believe that I've been there at Waseda studying Japanese for two semesters. Really, it's only been, 10 months? Because we started beginning of April. And we went all the way through the end of January. So it's kind of nice. I'm looking forward to just going to work and relaxing on the weekends. So... You know, I should take voice lessons again. I feel like I'm out of breath when I start talking and doing these podcasts. Actually, I think, you know, I took some voice instruction from a friend a while ago, actually. And a lot of it has to do with your posture. So I think I just need to sit up a little more straight. Okay. Anyway, how are you all doing? What's going on? There's a couple things I wanted to talk about this episode here. One of the things that has struck me is that I haven't done a episode to my, or what, a letter to my future self in a while. I think, who is it? I think it was either San or a friend of mine, Don, who was commenting about that. I don't remember who, but... we do have one that we have to answer. Actually, I'm a little late on it, so we'll get to that. And also, I want to tell a story about an overcoat. More on that soon, so let's go. Okay, I'm doing it again. Let's go.
Transmission receiving, June 24th, 2007.
Okay, I think we have his attention.
This guy, oh my god.
Let's see. Future self. Future,
yeah.
Christopher, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Because I haven't aged yet. Okay, let's ask this question. 6 month future self from today, San asks, what do you think America can learn from Japan? And what thing would you like to see in your own country that Japan has? Maybe he can answer this in Japanese too.
Well, I'm not going to answer that in Japanese because as I thought about that question...
Transmission complete.
Oh, okay, thanks. As I thought about that question this week, I actually found that I had a really great example. And I'm going to turn that question around slightly as well. The question was, if you couldn't hear through the static, you know when you send something, you know, that far in advance through the internet, it gets kind of screwy, so I couldn't freshen up the audio when I received that from my past self, but I did my best, so hopefully you were able to hear it. But if you couldn't, the question was, what do you think that Japan could learn, or I'm sorry, my country, the United States, could learn from Japan? And I want to also asked the question, what do I think Japan could learn from the United States? When I came back from the United States, I talked about the service industry and the differences that I had seen in the service industry. Well, I had an experience earlier this week where I had to go to the bank and get a bank statement. Now, I get bank statements sent to my home here, but I needed to show the Japanese government that I have enough money in my Japanese bank account in order to live here for 6 months as I'm changing my visa in order to do so. Now, one of the things that you have to do is go to the bank and actually request this piece of paper. Now, it's an official document, apparently, that I need to get because my latest statement doesn't have the money that I had transferred into my account in order to... I gotta take these headphones out. It's distracting me. Okay. My my account doesn't have enough... Not that it doesn't have enough money, but I needed to... Hold on. I am... You know, I should really get my act in order. I have these in-ears in, and I'm gonna take them out. Hold on 1 second. Just because it was so distracting, I was hearing my own voice in real time with like a... half a second delay. Okay, hold on. We're almost done here. Sorry, guys. I never call this a professional podcast, huh? Okay. So I didn't want to just print something off the internet, and I figured I could just go to the bank and they would be able to give me something that says how much I have in my account. But no, it's this entire process that you have to go through. So I had to end up speaking to a customer service representative, and I had to request something through the telephone, and they're going to send it to Ginza, and then I have to go pick it up. Anyway, it's a big, big ordeal in order to get this worked out. And I was getting a little frustrated, but when I took a step back from the situation and I looked at it, I said, you know, even in this entire transaction, as frustrating as it was, the service was great. It was entirely great. Everybody was super polite on the phone. I told them that I needed this as soon as possible, and they were also very accommodating. They told me it would take a week, which nothing really should take a week in order to get a piece of paper that says how much money you have. But even though it was going to take a week, I managed to get them down to about, I think, 4 days, and that's including the weekend, so really 2 business days. So, you know, it wasn't that bad of a deal in order to get all that worked out. So the customer service was excellent, and I think that the United States could really learn something from Japan about customer service. A lot of people also say that customer service in Japan is not really good customer service because the people act that way because they think that's the way they have to act. It's not genuine. I want to sort of turn that around on its head and say, well, genuine or not, it's all about the customer's experience. If you go into a convenience store and someone is very nice to you, you get a good feeling inside. You feel like that person cares about you. Whether or not they really do, and I'm sure that they don't, it's nice to feel that way. And it also makes things smoother. It makes those transactions smoother. If you're having a bad day, it's not aggravated or exacerbated in any way by somebody else's attitude. I had called a service in the United States. We're putting a bunch of stuff in storage, Linda and I had called to pay our first bill. And the woman picked up the phone. She's like, so-and-so storage. And I said, hi, yes, I'm calling in order to make my first bill payment. And I had a few questions. And she said, okay, and you are? And I was so taken aback that the rest of my conversation with her just was entirely frustrating. Now, if she had just said, okay, what can I do for you? Can I have your name? Or something as simple as that. It didn't even have to be the super polite service we get here in Japan. It would have made me feel that much better. And I think a lot of day-to-day things would go by much easier in the United States if they take that sort of approach to customer service. So that's what I think the United States can learn from Japan after being here. I know it's not a real profound observation, but I think it's a poignant one because it's something you experience on a day-to-day basis while here in Japan, and I think you kind of take it for granted without noticing it. And certainly the trip back to my country had helped me understand that, and my latest experience at the bank also reinforced that fact. But I want to ask the question in the opposite way, too. What do I think that Japan can learn from the United States? I think a sense of practicality in business processes. Now, I'm going to start getting into my area of work a little bit here, but really, I'll take this bank example again. It should not take 4 days to get a piece of paper that says how much money you have in your bank account. And I'm not going to blame the bank entirely because a lot of these official processes that you have to go through, whether it be getting a particular type of identification card or buying a house, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things that you need. And there's a lot of officiating and a lot of double checking and stamping and things like that that really I think is unnecessary. I think there's better ways to approach some of these authenticating people and giving them credentials and getting those credentials validated. I told the woman that I was, or the woman that was helping me at the bank, I said to her, look, I'm sorry for, you know, making such a request. I'm used to being able to go to the bank and just ask them for a statement and they can print one out right there and hand it to me. I'm not used to the fact that someone's going to have to send it away. It's going to have to get officiated at the bank, and then they have to send it back. That's just their process. Part of me thinks that it's because they need people to be employed. It's one of those things where you see, you know, five cops directing traffic when cones would do just fine, especially because people are just painting a bridge. Things like that. I just think there's a lot of unnecessary work that's being done. I guess it's nice to keep people employed, but come on, when it takes 5 days to get an official document, not even an official document, just a document saying how much I have, it's kind of ridiculous. Now, part of it, too, is, you know, the fact that I'm not even really quite sure, but I think it needs to be an official document. That's probably part of the problem, too. I mean, a bank statement would do just as well, I think, for most circumstances. But I guess, I don't know, maybe for the visa stuff, they want to be more careful. I think in this case, they might be being a little too careful. But that's something I think Japan can learn from the United States. So, San, that's the answer to your question from my perspective after being here for 9 months. And I think we'll have to come up with another future self question sometime soon. I think the next one actually won't be answered. I think it was 1 year future self, but I'll have to check exactly when I need to answer it. I think it's sometime in June, I want to say. I'm not quite sure. But we will certainly talk about that when we get to that point. But there you go. There's the answer to the question for the letters to my future self.
Letters to my future self. We'll be right back.
The next thing I wanted to talk about is, I don't know, it's a little personal, but I think it's a fun story. Before I talk about the story, though, I want to talk about why I'm doing it this way. I've been thinking about just podcasting in general, and I'm not going to talk too much meta-talk about this podcast, but I've been really inspired by some podcasters who I think are becoming incredible storytellers. There's this gentleman named Dan Carlin, and he has two podcasts, actually, that I listen to. I think he may even have more. He has one called Common Sense. It's called Common Sense with Dan Carlin. I think you can find his shows at www.dancarlin.com. His last name is spelled C-A-R-L-I-N. And he really puts a lot of time into putting together podcasts, and they're very enjoyable. And the one thing I really like about his style is he tells stories. He doesn't just, he doesn't just say what he thinks. He actually pulls it all together in a really coherent way, and it's just such a treat to be able to listen to that. Dan Carlin also has another show called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, and he's got 18 different shows covering everything from the ancient Macedonians or Macedonians, however you want to say it, thoughts on Nazism, thoughts on Winston Churchill's, scars of the First World War, what he calls the X-History Files, and just a ton of great material. And it's always nice to listen to that, maybe on a nice lazy Sunday when you have nothing to do and you want some enjoyable media to satiate your mind. It's a great way to go. So if you're into history, or I will say like an interesting take on politics, check out those two podcasts. But separate from the actual content of those podcasts, I really liked his style. There's another podcast, too, that's quite motivational for me. It's called WNYC's Radiolab. And I think this might be related to NPR. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. But they also do a great job. I think it's a bi-weekly podcast, if I'm not mistaken. And they do a great deal of collecting all sorts of information and bringing it together and making it an audio experience. So I thought I may sort of take a cue from some of these two podcasts and try to tell a coming-of-age story, I think. And I wanted to tell it in a way that I think is related to Japan, but also more in a way that's sort of related to how my mind works and how I've been thinking about things. And so if you'll humor me for a few minutes, I'll tell you the story about the overcoat. When I was younger, I always associated overcoats with getting older. A lot of the people that I ended up respecting wore overcoats. The overcoat was just such a symbol of being an adult. In a lot of ways, it's not like a regular coat. Obviously, they're mostly longer. There's a lot of, you know, famous overcoats that you see. I know when you used to watch those old history films and the 1920s dress all the way up through maybe like the 50s, you used to see a lot of the politicians and businessmen wear the overcoat. Also, there's the movie references, obviously. The one that comes to mind immediately is Dick Tracy, the hardened detective walking through the streets at night in the overcoat. And the overcoat, in that sense, kind of protects the person from the elements. And I think there's probably more of a metaphorical aspect to that, in that it sort of protects people from the dangers of the city or the hard life of being an adult and being inundated with just reality. I think when you're younger, it's much easier to ignore the world around you, focus on yourself, and get distracted with things like, I don't know, when I was a kid, it was Legos and video games. And then for a while, it was music. And I think it's real easy to get sort of locked into those hobbies or those things and not really take in the world around you. That's a broad generalization, but let's go with it for a second. So, it was only recently that I finally bought an overcoat. And it was funny in that I actually received money. Now, I know my mom listens to the podcast as well. But I actually received money for an overcoat 1 year, and I never used it to buy an overcoat. I ended up using it to buy another suit that I needed at the time. But I never actually bought the overcoat until just recently. And, now being here in Japan and working, as it started getting colder, I was wearing my suits, which are winter suits, really. They're thicker wool suits, really made for people who work more in colder climates, I would think, especially like the Northeast U.S., which is where I'm from. And these suits were unbearable during the summer. Oh, they were terribly hot and sticky and just annoying. But in the winter, they got really nice because they were very warm. Some of these colder days in Japan here, I've been wearing the suit with a hat and sometimes just a really thick scarf that I got for Christmas. And, it was getting to the point before I'd come back from the States where, Japan was starting to get really, really cold, so I figured, I should get an overcoat. So I finally bought an overcoat, and the purchase experience was a little, frustrating. I'm the kind of person where I just like to go in, I know what I want, and just get it and leave. When I went into this store, they had tons of, I think it was a Burlington Coat Factory or something, which is like a huge kind of outlet store in the Northeast. And I'm looking at the coat now as I'm talking about this. I'm kind of like wrenching my neck over to see it. But I was looking for one of those, what are they called? Sort of like a fleece coat. Not like the stuff that like petticoats are made out of, but the men's one. And I couldn't find one that I really liked. So I ended up getting an overcoat that can actually kind of keep off some of the rain as well, which I figured would be better here in Japan since it's not quite as cold to need something really, really thick in terms of a coat. And also it rains quite a bit. So a coat like this would probably be a better bet than something that looks like it would absorb water instead of repelling the water. So I bought the coat and I brought it back to the States here. And I wore it once in the States because I had to go into work. But here in the, or brought it back here to Japan, I hadn't worn it. I was still wearing just the suit and going to work that way. Well, there was one day where it was just extremely cold and I couldn't keep doing that. So I finally put the overcoat on. And I was walking down the street and I came up to a street corner that had one of those mirrors that is set up so that people can see the oncoming traffic. And I stopped and I looked at myself. I said, whoa, there's a man in an overcoat. And I realized at that moment that I was now wearing the overcoat. I was now one of the people that I always thought would, that I thought would be wearing the overcoat. The politician, the businessman. And it was sort of a transformative kind of feeling. And what was interesting is I was kind of unnerved about it, so I just kept going. But I couldn't escape it. I couldn't escape the overcoat. I had to wear it because it was cold. And I had to wear something nice because I was going to work. But as I kept walking down the street, I would see more overcoats. People looking just like me. Obviously, they're not looking sauce-faced as I am. I learned that the other day. If you're sauce-faced, it means that you're... Your face has lots of distinct features, like big eyes and big nose. And if you're a soy sauce face, it means that, you look plain, like an Asian person. But there's a saying that says the soy sauce faces get more beautiful over time, and that the sauce faces look really interesting at first, but then they're kind of boring. So one of my classmates had brought that up the other day in class, and I didn't understand. I knew what she was saying. It was like sauce cow and shoyu cow, but I never knew what that actually meant. So there's a little Japanese culture tidbit for you there. But anyway, back to the overcoat. Where did I leave off? Yeah, so I was walking down the street and I kept seeing more overcoats. And I realized that wearing this overcoat was a part of me fitting in with becoming an adult. And I had been avoiding wearing the overcoat because I had, in my mind, been avoiding becoming an adult. For a long time, I had played music in bands, even while I was working full-time, mostly because I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to have the big house, the white picket fence, the three kids and the dog and the minivan. That stuff is just, I never saw myself going down the traditional route of having that type of life. I always saw myself as having a different life, an alternative life, something that not a lot of people do. Because I find interest in a variety. I'm not really interested in being like everybody else. I think that's part of the reason why I came to Japan, too. I wanted to live in a foreign country for at least a year to say I've had the experience of living in a foreign country and experiencing another culture. If you read the About Finding Japan page, you'll see that's the primary reason why I'm here. And that day, I realized that I'm letting some of that go. And that's okay, because I think you can be idealistic to a point, but then eventually, you know, it becomes, it's almost like the way you're supposed to be becomes desired, because not that it's easier, but because you realize you can enjoy life better that way. If you're constantly moving around, if you're constantly doing something new, it can be quite difficult. And part of having a balance to life, I think, is having your independence and that part of you that's not like everybody else. And then the other half is having a part of you that is like everybody else. So there is a comfort level there. And that's something that I think I'm still learning. But the overcoat was a big part of that. And later on that day, when I was returning back home, it was extremely cold and windy down in Ariake. And as I left the building, the overcoat was actually kind of nice. I love the overcoat. It's so warm. And even though I look like a big walking rectangle when I look at my shadow, a rectangle with a big ball on top of it, I'm really happy that I started wearing the overcoat. Because it is sort of protecting me from the city. The crazy city of Tokyo. No, it's not crazy at all. It's a great city. It's very safe. But now I sort of use the overcoat as like a security blanket. You can hide in the overcoat if you want to. So, I don't know. There you go. That's just a little bit about the overcoat. I hope you enjoyed just the random rant about the overcoat. I know it kind of really doesn't make much sense in the context of finding Japan, but you know, I always sort of expected that I would, at some point, find more to talk about myself than specific things about Japan. I think when you throw yourself into an experience like living in a foreign country, you end up learning just as much about yourself as you do about the country that you're living in. Because you see how you change and how you adapt. And also, I think, how you don't adapt. And it just sort of gives some more insight into you as a person, or actually, I'm not going to say it gives any insight into you. For me, it gives me more insight into me as a person, and that's something that I appreciate. Even though it took this strange little weird thing with the overcoat to get to that point. So there you go. That's the overcoat story. There's only one other thing I wanted to talk about here before I clean house here and let you all go. I don't want these episodes to get any longer than, maybe like 40 minutes. So there's been some interesting talk going on about these Japan Podcaster Awards. And I was even going to jump in on the comments, but I decided that I would refrain from doing that. And instead, I wanted to point the listeners to the comments, if you're interested in what's going on the blog for the episode where I had talked about the Japan Podcasters Awards. I think it's actually, if you go to the site and just look on the comments section, you'll see. And the only thing I want to say is that I've been approving all of the comments that go to that thread, so people can make up their own minds as to what's going on there. I think everyone could pretty much just sort of chill out, because it really doesn't matter when it comes down to it. I think for some people it really does seem to matter, and I think that's fine. They can have those opinions, but I think I would rather just say that I've enjoyed all of the podcasters here in Japan and what they bring to the table, and I haven't yet met someone who I feel is trying to usurp or co-opt the podcasting community here. And I think on the experiences that I've had, it's been just the opposite. Everyone has been very open, very straightforward, very open arms, and very welcoming into this community. So for those people, I just want to say thanks. I hope to do the same as more podcasters come into the fold here about Japan. And also for my friends that I've made through this podcast. I've made friends pretty much all over the world, and that's been a lot of fun. And I love receiving the emails from you guys, and even the small ones just saying, oh, I'm coming to Japan, and you know, thanks for saying all this stuff, and thanks for turning me on to this or that, or hey, I just like the podcast. That means a lot to me, so thanks for listening. You know, I always sort of end the show saying, oh, thanks for listening, stay tuned here, yeah. Well, yeah, I hope you do, but if you don't, that's cool too, and I'm just glad people are getting something out of this, because it's a, as much as it is a selfish project for me, because eventually what I'm going to do is collect all these episodes and archive them, and then, I don't know, maybe give them to my grandkids, if I ever have any, for them to listen to when they're my age. Maybe they'll get a good laugh at how I saw things or how old-fashioned I was. I think that'd be kind of fun. I remember my grandmother had this tape recorder, too, and I should go over there one day and try and find some of those tapes. I think they're actually with my family now as well. But yeah, there was some really interesting stuff on there, and I want to listen to those now. And I think that in the future, maybe someone else will want to listen to this, too. So even if two people are listening, even if no one is listening, I'm still going to keep this up. And having an audience certainly keeps me motivated to do this, but not having an audience is just as fine with me. So I'm glad we're killing two birds with one stone here, getting people interested in Japan, and also getting sort of like some, marking some time in life, I guess you could call it. So that's it. A little strange episode here, a little reflective, but I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope you come back again. So without any further ado here, we'll wrap it up. Just one thing I did want to say is I do have some more material from last year that I need to get through that I will put up soon. I promise. I'll do it. Videos, some fun audio, some stuff from school, all that. So until then, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.